Colossians 3, 17 to 24. You ready for it? Cool. Most of you are. You ready for it? Good. You need to know something, though. I'm four shots deep already. All right. So I've had four shots of espresso. On my way to church, I was like, you know what? I want a coffee at church, but I also want two from St. Kilda on the way. And so I had a cortado and a latte. So I think I might be like five shots deep, actually. And you know, like I always say, coffee, you know, espresso and the Holy Ghost. Man, that's a recipe for an incredible sermon. And also should help it preach a lot faster, too. So, you know. So anyway, Colossians 3, 17 to 24. You ready for it? Cool. Y'all going to help me preach today? Awesome. All right. And whatever you do, let's just stop there for a second. If you get that Greek word, if you get the word whatever and you dial it all the way back to the Greek word that was actually said at the time, you'll discover it means whatever. Whatever. Come on, look at your neighbor, say whatever. Now I said whatever. Whatever you do, whether it's your word or your deed, whether it's things you speak about, talk about, or whether it's things that you do with your hands, do all of it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Because God gave you the gift of speaking and the gift of hands. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You notice the more amens for the husband one? Y'all notice that just there? I was just passing through, right? We're just driving past this little line in Scripture that said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting the Lord. And everybody was like, every man in the building didn't move an inch. Then it got to husbands, loves your wives and don't be harsh. And everyone's like, amen. But I too am going to drive straight past it. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh, even more amens there. Hey, we got some families in church. Fathers, don't embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything do it not only when their eye is on you and to the curry of their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Somebody say whatever. Whatever. You do it with all your heart as though walking for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. Amen. It is Christ that you are serving. If you want to receive from God, would you reach out your hands in faith today? Because I want to pray for you today. I know we do this every week, but I feel like you come to church because you want to receive every week. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask for your help to maybe tamper down the espresso a fraction, that I might be intelligent for a moment, that people might understand the words that come out of my mouth, Lord. Help me preach your word, I pray. Help all of us to receive your word, that we would all leave this place having been inspired to rise up, to aim higher, to stand out, and all of it for your glory in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. 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 High five your neighbor. Take a seat. If you are watching online, high five somebody in the room. If nobody's in the room, smack your screen and say amen. All right, high five on there as well. Today, I want to talk to you on the subject of going from beta to better. All right. Now, I know y'all think I just said the exact same word twice. Beta, B-E-T-A, better, B-E-T-T-E-R, or from beta to better, all right? We're going to go from beta to better, amen? I want to talk to you about going from second to first, from your second best effort to your best effort, from your second best life to your best life. Does that sound good to you? Would y'all like help pursuing that kind of life today? Yeah, y'all like, uh-oh, we got some airy-fairy sermon. No, we are gonna make you so uncomfortable today, you're gonna change your pants when you get home, all right? Like, it's not gonna be airy-fairy today. I want to use the Word of God to inspire you to dream again, to work harder, to serve more, to give more, to live a louder life, amen? Come on, does anybody want to live in God's best? Come on, somebody didn't say yes to that, and that's confusing. Does anybody want to live in God's best, right? Like, I want God's best for my life. Not my best, I want God's best, amen? Does anyone here love to be, like, inspired? Yeah. Have you ever been inspired at Eternity Church? Yeah, when we have guest speakers, yeah. Like, come on, you ever been inspired at Eternity Church? Does anyone like to listen to inspirational podcasts? The correct answer for you online people is yes, Eternity Church, every single week. That's the correct answer, just so you know. Anyone read inspirational books? Watch inspirational movies, right? Well, on Friday night, I watched one of the most inspirational movies that I have ever seen in my life. It's a movie I like to watch every single year. I think it's good to be reminded every year that there are no limits, amen, that God is a God of the impossible, amen, that I can do better, that I can go further, that I can give more, not just financially, but more of myself to this great cause, this great mission of the gospel, that all people would hear and experience the favor and generosity of God, amen. I like to be inspired that there is always more. Anyone got a movie or a book like that that they read or that they watch every single year to inspire them? Anyone got one like that? Give me a wave with your hands, yeah? Yeah, one that you watch every year. You know, you think a good yearly reminder, right? Like I read the book every year, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? Last night somebody laughed at that. And like they were like, well, you don't have any friends. I was like, well, every single time I read that book, I get one more friend. Every time I read that book, I put it down and I'm like, that's good. I got another friend. And if I didn't get any extra influence, I pay somebody to repeat the things that I say, right? I'm like, here's $5. Just say God is good, right? Like I read that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, every single year, pretty much every year for the last 15 or so years. I like to be reminded how to be a better friend. I like to be reminded how to have more influence in my life, yeah? Another book I like to read often is Undercover or Undercover by John Bevere, right? And actually, I read that book, I just finished it for a third time a week or so ago to inspire me, to remind me of the benefits that come by staying in submission to the authority that God placed in my life, right? Like, yeah, I like to read it every single year, these sorts of inspirational books. Come on, anybody else, right? I don't know, you know, like I know we all have like fun movies we watch every year, right? Like we just want to have a good laugh. Like one of the greatest movies ever made was Mean Girls, right? Like, come on, give me a wave. Give me a wave if you've seen Mean Girls, right? If you haven't, you need to. That was a movie straight from heaven via hell. And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt action rifle. I'm sorry, but that movie is so fetch, isn't it? Come on, someone yell it at me. It's not gonna happen, right? Come on, I know. Come on, anybody got any inspirational movies or books or podcasts that remind you to lift your game, yeah? Well, this week I actually watched what I believe to be probably one of the most all-time most inspiring movies on the planet. I really do. I think it's probably one of the most inspiring cinematic experiences you'll ever have. One of the best storytelling, life-changing movies you'll ever watch. Has anyone else seen it? This week I watched Taken. Yeah. Has anybody seen the movie Taken? Give me a wave. Keep your hand up if you know I'm right. One of the greatest movies ever made in the history of the universe. I saw a dude look at his wife and put his hand down, put it back up, be a man. Come on, right? Like, come on, it's the greatest movie ever made, right? Like, all three of them are good, but the first one's the best one, yeah? Like, you know it's inspirational because a man cannot watch Taken without imagining himself as Liam Neeson going on a rampage, killing everyone that gets between him and his daughter. Am I right? Right? Like, Liam Neeson, if you haven't seen it, I'm going to ruin it for you. But honestly, you can't ruin it. I've seen it a billion times. And I'll watch it again next week, right? Like, it's fantastic, all right? Like, Liam Neeson is a retired spook, right? He used to work for the CIA, and his daughter goes to Europe, and number one, stay out of Europe, and, you know, his daughter goes to Europe with a friend and gets kidnapped by human traffickers, and it's all right, don't worry, nothing too serious happened after, you know, like, getting kidnapped sucks and all, but, like, it didn't get much further than that, all right, it's all good, all right, but as she's getting kidnapped, she's on the phone with her dad, the retired spook from the CIA, right? And when they take his daughter, they pick up the phone, and then Liam Neeson, the dad, says to the human trafficker, to the bad guy, the most scary and intimidating sentence any bad guy has ever heard in his life, right? I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that I have acquired over a long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you. The most intimidating sentence ever said to a bad guy ever, right? Like, insane. I would have pooped my pants right there and been like, little girl, you stay here. Let me write a little sorry note to your dad before I go, right? Like, every time I watch that movie, as I hear those words, hair starts growing on my chest. Where there was no hair, hair grows. Where there was hair, it gets longer, right? I start to feel my shirt getting an inch further away from my nipples as hair just starts filling up my chest. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about, right? Like my hair starts to turn into razor wire growing out of my chest. It's intimidating. It's inspiring, right? And then later on in the movie, oh, he keeps his word. He finds the guy that took his daughter, and he looks at the guy and he says, I told you I would find you, and I told you I would kill you. And he does, over a lot longer period of time than I expected. Come on, right? And every dude that watches that movie is looking at it going, this is the dream. Like, this is the dream right there. Every dad has imagined what he would do if his daughter was taken. Amen. Come on. Every dad. Y'all think I'm crazy. Let's prove it to you right now. I'm going to count to three, and then I want the dads to put their hand up if you have watched a movie like Taken and then in detail planned out everything you would do to the bad guy if someone took your kid. One, two, three, go. Right? See? See, and some dudes didn't put their hands up because they still want you to kiss them, right? Listen, every dude that watched that movie has imagined himself as Liam Neeson. See, what your ladies got to understand about us men is when we watch Jack Ryan, we are Jack Ryan. When we watch Jason Bourne, we are Jason Bourne. When we watch Mission Impossible, we are Ethan Hunt. When we watch Hannibal Lecter, we are... No, I'm just kidding. We don't eat people anymore. Come on, I know. You ladies are all in here and you're like, oh my gosh, you guys are ridiculous. Oh my gosh. You do it. You ladies do it too. When you watch The Wedding Singer and Adam Sandler walks on the plane and starts singing, I want to make you smile whenever you're sad, carry you around when your arthritis is bad. All I want to do is grow old with you. You looked at your husband right in the eye and you were like, that's going to be us. Someday that will be us. You will carry me around. We're going to grow old together. Come on, you do it too. Come on, you watch movies and you're inspired and you want to be that person. You insert yourself in the story. But come on, do you know what no man has ever done when he's watching Taken? Or when he's watching any movie like that? He's never dreamed about being Simon from True Lies. Standing on the side of the road, peeing his pants, right? No man has ever watched Taken, thought about, dreamed about. Come on, because when you watch Taken, you know the day is coming when someone's going to take your kid, right? Like, I don't know what happens in that moment, but you just think that's going to happen, right? No man has ever thought about that, planned that out, and then thought about how they're going to quiver in fear, crying in the corner, peeing their pants. That's no guy's dream. No one. Because we love to be inspired, right? We love to dream. We're chasers. We're designed that way, amen? We want to live up. We love being inspired by people who are better at something than us, yeah? See, in the beginning, God created, God commanded us to be fruitful, to increase in number, to multiply, to take ground, to subdue the earth. We were not designed to sit back, relax, and cry in a corner. Come on, we weren't. None of us were designed to do that. We were not designed to sit back and watch life happen. We were designed for life. We were designed for growth. We were designed for more, amen. And then God commands us in the beginning to pursue more and to subdue more. But then there's this pressure in the world to conform, isn't there? To pursue less and to do less. To fit in. To behave, to toe the line, to tear down those who rise up, to ridicule and assume the worst in people that succeed. And so multiplication becomes something people look at as greedy. Increase is seen as robbery. Standards are called prejudice. Righteousness is called hatred. Grace is called soft. And so more and more and more and more, those who refuse to fit in and stand out begin to feel a subtle pressure to shrink back and to blend in. To be beige, as we would say in Australia. To be beige. In Australia, we call beige boring, right? You know, don't stand out, be beige. Don't be exciting, be beige. Don't dream big, be beige. Don't drive a red car, drive a beige car. It's always a Camry too. Don't know why. Hands up if you have a beige Camry. All right, good. Didn't lose anyone from church today. Come on, listen, church. Don't be beige. Stand out. Amen. Come on. Well, I'm not shrinking back. I'm not blending in. I will not conform. I will not behave by the standards of the world. I will behave by the standards of my God. Amen. Come on. Stand out. Reach high. Dream big. Work hard so that tomorrow you can be better than you were today. The scripture we read at the start of my message said, do all the things. How many things? All things. Do all things with all your heart. You know, people who do all things with all their heart tend to stand out. People who do all things with all their heart tend to get noticed. And I'm not saying they become famous. I'm not saying they become a celebrity. I'm not saying that they become rich. But they will be exceptional. Be the exception, not the beige one that blends in with everybody else. It's like how in 2020, so many of you shared stories with me about how you experienced God's favor in your life last year. It's because you refused to blend in. You refuse to watch life happen. Come on. You said, I will stand out. I will live life. I will have faith. Amen. And so favor and blessing landed on your life. And you stood out. And people go, why are you so happy? Like, because I refuse to blend in. Amen. Last week, Lauren and I were sent a hilarious video by one of our staff who shall remain nameless. Now, she's a great worship leader. And she did marry Brandon McEninch. But for the sake of anonymity and to protect her, we will not name her. And the video that she sent us bizarrely and perfectly illustrates the ridiculousness of aiming lower, of wanting to decrease as opposed to how God designed you to increase. For those who are going to say, less of me and more of Christ. Yep, absolutely. Less of the pressures of the world and becoming all about you and more of being all about Christ and how he designed you. Amen. I affirm that. But it's ridiculous to aim for decrease. It's ridiculous to aim lower. Amen. And the video was all about how a man can go from being an alpha male to a beta male. Alpha being number one, beta being number two. And I died laughing, and the video starts with JP, I think it's JP Sears, and let me just pause for a moment. I do not condone and affirm every video that JP Sears has made. I'm just saying this one was fantastic, all right? And there were moments in this one that made me cringe, but the moral of it was absolutely hilarious. It starts with JP asking, are you tired of waiting for the world to emasculate you? Are you tired of the pressure that comes with being a regular man or even a beta male? Or perhaps you're already a beta male and you'd like help becoming even less of a man. Here are 7 steps that will help you become more of a beta male. Why be first when you can be second? And I'm like, it's hilarious, right? It's hilarious, but the video exists because there really does seem to be a push in the world for men to be less manly. You notice that? Come on, you notice that? Am I preaching to people who are observant in here? And so when a man acts too manly, we say things like, quit with your toxic masculinity. Which, or quit with this masculinity or this bravado, or, you know, it's a ridiculous statement. Listen to me, every one of you. God designed men to be masculine. God did that. If you're a man, God did that. It's not toxic to be masculine. Men are not women. They are different. Men do not and should not act like women. They think different. They walk different. They act different. They desire different. They lead different. They speak different. It's not opinion. It's science. Listen, half this room has got their body just pumping crazy with estrogen. The other half of the room has got their bodies pumping crazy with testosterone. That's science. It's not opinion. It's science, and even better, it's design. Now listen, some men are toxic, but that's not toxic masculinity. That's a toxic, sinful man. Some women are toxic. You know that? And that's not toxic femininity. That's a toxic, sinful woman. It's okay to be a masculine man, and you should be. If you're a man, you should be. It's okay to be a feminine woman. If you're a woman, you should be. It's from God. It's all good. It's by design. All right? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to fulfill these certain roles over here and do this and do that. No. But there's a masculinity and a femininity that is beautiful and designed by God. And by the way, did you know that the statement, be a man, isn't some new statement? It's in the Word of God. Did you know that? The Bible says it. God says to men in the Word, be a man, be firm, be strong, stand your ground, and be gentle. You know, being masculinity isn't about not having feelings. It says to be gentle. It says to be gentle. And God says that because there might be an inclination for some men not to be that, right? You know, like you can have a soft heart and be a masculine man. My son, one of my sons, has more feelings than the other sons. That doesn't make, he's not in touch with his feminine side. He doesn't have a feminine side. He's just a godly young man who's gentle. Amen? Come on. Amen? Now listen, this is not just a sermon for men, but I bring that up to illustrate this. The world wants you to be less of what God designed you to be. The world wants you to quit aiming for the best. Don't aim higher. Don't lean in to God's design and purpose and plans for your life. Pursue less. Dream less. Accept less. Settle for less. Ladies and gentlemen, don't settle for less. Hey, if you're single, don't settle for less. Hey, listen, ladies, if you are 18 and you want to get married, number one, you're 18, relax. But listen, you are far better off being still single at 45 and finding a man with some standards in his life than being 20 and marrying a dude that doesn't respect you the way a man is supposed to. Oh, but I won't look as good then. Well, I don't know. I think my wife looks pretty good, and she's approaching 45 in 7 years. But you know what? Hey, listen. Yes, our bodies age, right? But our value does not decrease with it. Come on, you will find a man. Hey, maybe not that long, maybe at 24, but don't settle for a man that doesn't take his role as a man serious, doesn't take responsibility for his life. Come on, still waiting for a handout from mom and dad, isn't strong, isn't firm, doesn't stand his ground, isn't gentle. Don't do that. And men, don't settle for a woman that's not in the house of God with you. Come on. Don't settle. The world wants us to settle, wants us to be beige, wants us to blend in, wants us to be less male, wants us to be less female. Be less, be less, be less, do less, dream less. I will not be less than what God designed me to be. Come on. I will not be less than what God called me to be. Can someone say amen? Is this good? Can we get momentarily uncomfortable for a moment? If you weren't already. All right, we cool with that? Let's get uncomfortable for a second, all right? So apparently a week or so ago, Coca-Cola had a staff training in which white people were told to be less white. Oh, no. Y'all are like, what? Go breathe. Yes, we have a machine in this building that sucks the oxygen out of the room every now and again for dramatic effect. The machine's name is Jesse. And let's be honest, though. It's not the first time someone's been told to be less of their race. Like, I know black people who have been told to be less black, too. You want to apply for this job? Just be less black. Be less white. Listen, be less white and be less black. These statements are absolutely ridiculous. They are opposite the Word of God in every way, shape, and fashion. They are racist and they are disgusting. If you're black, I know the guy that did that to you. Come on. Come on. If you're black, I know the one who made you black on purpose. If you're white, I know the guy that did that to you. Come on, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Come on, Jehovah Rapha. Come on, God made you white. God made you black. God made you Asian. God made you Hispanic. Come on, I know the guy that did that. Your body is a gift from God. The chromosomes, the molecules, the colors, the pigment, the DNA in you was fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together in your mother's womb by my God. Don't let someone use the design of your body as an excuse to pull you down and tear you down and tell you to be less. Someone say amen. Oh, come on. What's a black guy supposed to do? Jump in a bucket of bleach? Try to scrub the black off his skin? It's ridiculous. God made every black guy black. What am I supposed to do as a white guy? Be less white? I freaking live in Iowa. The sun comes out 9 days a year. All right? Come on, today's the first time in about 9 months. My legs will blind you in December. Don't be less white. Don't be less black. Don't be less Hispanic. Don't be less feminine. Don't be less masculine. Be all that my God designed you to be. Lean in to who God says that you are. Amen. Be all that God designed you to be. Lean in. Let's not get rid of the flavor in this world by making us all dress the same, walk the same, talk the same, act the same, and look the same. I love that when God created the world in living color, he's like, I'm going to do that to all you too. Isn't it awesome? Come on, isn't it awesome? Don't be beige. God doesn't want everything to be like everything. Even dogs have different breeds, different colors. Flowers have different colors. Everything on the planet God created in variety, and we're the same too. Let's not all be the same. Don't blend in. Don't be beige. Don't aim for less. You serve a God who said in His word, in His will for your life, the Bible, the word of God, in His holy scriptures, I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think or imagine. He's telling us we need to look up. We need to aim up. We need to aim high. Come on. We need to ask for more. You were designed to increase till you breathe your last breath. You were designed to influence people until you breathe your last breath and even beyond. Amen. You were designed to advance the kingdom of God to your last breath. You were designed to grow in your spirit and your soul and your influence to your last breath. Today, I want to inspire you to dream again. To thank God for who you are and how He designed you. And I am sick and tired of the world telling people to be less. Sick and tired of the world pulling people down, punishing people for things from years ago or things from there. I'm tired of it. I serve a forgiving God, a gracious God, a loving God, a God who loves each and every one of you, designed you on purpose with a purpose, amen. I'm going to ask God for more. I hope you're inspired to work harder chasing after the promises of God in your life. I want to see you become all that God designed you to be. Not less of what God designed you to be. Not the second best version of yourself. Be the best version of yourself. You know, I want to be the sort of husband that encourages my wife to be her best. I don't want to be married to Beta Lauren. I don't want to be married to second best version of Lauren. Come on, oh, she's all right, but, you know. Nah, I want to be married to Alpha Lauren. To the best Lauren. I want to help her become everything that God designed her to be. And I pray that she continues to help me become everything that God designed me to be. Amen. Be the alpha version of yourself. Be the best version of yourself. You want to know where to find that? Well, that person's written about all throughout the Word of God. All throughout scriptures, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew all the way to Revelation, God talks about how good you are. See, He sees you like that. But He talks about how good you can be, amen. And I'm not talking about more money, although some of us, as we do this, are going to have more money. And if you get more money, don't hide it. Don't bury it. Buy a Ferrari if you want one. Don't hide. Seriously. Like, what is with people saying, oh, they're so ostentatious? Hey, no, they just made a lot of money. They tithe. They're also generous and give to other people on top of that. And they have enough to have a big house and a Ferrari. Awesome. Cool. Just make sure you let me borrow it every now and again. You know, we're good. It's not blessed until the pastor's driven it. Serious. That's in the Bible. I think it actually says, let your pastor drive it every second year, but whatever. I've got a friend of mine, a pastor who was given a Ferrari, and he was afraid to drive it for the longest time. And the person said, you need to drive it. This is a gift. Don't hide what God gives you. Now, I'm not saying you'll have more money. Not at all. I'm not saying you'll have more stuff. I'm not saying that you need to have more, that you could be more. Right, net worth is a stupid term. Like, that should be net bank account balance, you know, or net dollar worth, you know, or whatever else. But listen, your worth is not defined by the things you have. I'm not saying that you need to have more to be more, but I am saying you need to lean in to God's design for your life. I am saying that if you lean into God's design and God's plans for your life and you be more of what God designed you to be, you will experience increase in your life. It will happen. Lean into the call of God on your life. Passionately chase after everything that He promised you. If you're called to ministry, you could just sit there and get a paycheck, or you could work your butt off for the kingdom of God and be the best minister that you can be. If you're called to be a king, Scripture talks about prophets, priests, and kings, and a modern-day interpretation or application of that could be something along the lines of kings providing resource or provision to the vision, amen? Like, if you're a king, a business leader, a business owner, be the best one you can be, right? If you're an employee, be the best employee you can be. You know, I think so many people try to lean into a call that's not on their life. You know, I feel like every second Tom, Dick, and Harry that I meet tells me they're an entrepreneur. And they tell me all the things they're working on. And 8 years later, they tell me those same things. And I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe you're not an entrepreneur. Just, you know, honestly, like you don't have to be that to be valuable. You know, you don't have to have the word entrepreneur or business leader or doctor or what. You don't have to have those letters before or after your name for you to have worth, value, and influence in the kingdom of God. You know that? What you need to be is the best you can be. If you are an entrepreneur and 8 years later nothing's happened, I would say that you have not given it all that you've got. Just saying. Be the best employee you can be. Be the best business leader you can be. Be the best minister you can be. If you're a father, be the best father you can be. If you're a mother, be the best mother you can be. Amen. Actually take time to look at all that God has given you, all that God has designed you to be, all that God has called you to be, and give it everything that you've got. Amen. Can I get the band back up as I begin to contemplate landing the plane? And as we prepare for a time of ministry. Has anyone here heard the story of Gideon? Yeah, you've heard the story of Gideon. For those of you who haven't heard the story of Gideon, Gideon lived a life where he believed the lie of what the world told him he was, that he was less. So he lived in less. He acted less. And so Gideon was a dude. And in fact, the angel of the Lord comes up and tells him what he is according to the Lord and says, "Yo, Gideon, mighty warrior." And he replies with what he's heard from the world that he is. And he says, "You know what? My tribe is the weakest tribe in Israel. My family is the weakest family in our tribe. And I am the weakest person in our family." He echoes the be less of the world, the live down. You're not a man. You're not a man. You're not a man. You're weak. You're crap. You're useless. He echoes that to God. God says to be who you are. See, God calls him a mighty warrior. And thank God, as the story proceeds, Gideon begins to lean into more of who God says he is and less of who the world says he is. Oh, he still makes mistakes here and there, but he begins to lean into who God says he is. Mighty warrior! See, there was an army of 135,000 people oppressing Gideon's people. And Gideon did not have enough warriors to fight that battle. And so what happens when you don't have enough staff or enough warriors or enough soldiers? You might be tempted to lower the standard, right? To accept less, that we could have a greater pool of soldiers and warriors or employees in our business. Let's not only take the so-called alpha warriors, let's take the beta warriors too, right? Like if the test is too hard for everyone to pass, we could lower the standard. Everyone will pass, but we'll all be useless together. Right? But God tells Gideon to raise the standard. In ways that honestly don't make any sense from an earthly perspective, if we're honest. I don't know what that was all about. It's pretty bloody confusing. But Gideon didn't quite understand, but he didn't question it. He did what he was told to do. He obeyed God. He leaned in to God's design for the situation instead of his own. God, and he shows God, Gideon shows God his 32,000 soldiers. And God says, raise the standard. So Gideon does. And then God says, raise the standard again. So Gideon does. Raise the standard. 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 Aim higher. God keeps raising the standard higher and higher and higher and higher and higher until eventually only 300 men are good enough to fight against the army of 135,000 soldiers. Gideon obeyed God. Gideon raised the standard. He aimed higher. He only took the men that met the standard God set. And with 300 men, they destroyed an army of 135,000 soldiers. It would seem easier to take all 32,000, wouldn't it? It would seem easier to just get married to that gal, to just date that man, whatever. It would seem easier to just do what comes easy. It would seem easier to settle for a lower standard. And we're not saying somebody's not good enough, but maybe we're for you to marry, but maybe we're saying they're not the person God's called them to be yet, you know? Like, just like God worked on you, he still needs to work on them. You know what I'm saying? It would seem easier to aim lower. But when you lean into God's design, you also lean into God's power. When Gideon leaned into God's standard, he fought with God's power. If you want to be the best, you need to be more of who God designed and called you to be. That's how you become the best. See, Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your identity. He wants to steal your design. He wants to steal your purpose. He wants to destroy your purpose. He wants to pressure you into conforming, into aiming lower, to not standing out, to being beige, to fitting in, to towing the line, to behaving to the world's standards. Listen, I'm going to go back to the men and the women for a second. Men don't need to hide their masculinity. Come on. You don't need to hide it. You don't need to hide it. And there are some people in here who have been afraid to live in that or in different areas, or different areas of your life that God designed you intentionally to be. Listen, do not aim lower. Do not hide what God called you to be. Do not hide it. Don't hide it. It's a gift from God. He was on purpose. And speaking of masculinity, we commit as a church to working harder to help you discover what it means to be a man according to Scripture too. Like, we're going to help you with that too. All right? We need to be more vocal in helping you and supporting you as you pursue godly masculinity. Amen? And women don't need to pretend to be something else too, right? You don't need to fit some worldly idea where you have to stay home or you have to go to work. No, it's not about whether you're at home or whether you're at work. By the way, there are women in the Bible who worked and there are women in the Bible who stayed home, just FYI, right? Like, it's not about are you the main breadwinner or not, right? It's about your character, your integrity, how you behave, amen? For men and women, if you're rich, quit pretending you're not. How does God get the glory for something you won't tell anyone about? Hey, come on. It almost works on the other end too. If you're poor and you're pretending you're rich, how's God going to do a miracle in your life when you won't admit you're poor? Right? Right? Come on. Honesty. Just be authentic. Amen? Be who you are. If you're blessed, don't hide it. Don't hide it. 2020 really blessed our life and really blessed our church in many ways. But there was a pressure to not allow people to see that blessing, to hide it, to fit in, to shrink the testimony. But it needs to be said, God's favor flooded our church and many of our lives last year. Flooded it. We are who he says we are. We have what he chose to give us, and we're chasing after all he put in front of us. Amen. For too long in my life, I let pressure, I let the enemy pressure me into conforming, to fitting in, to being quiet. Too many of us have either let the enemy, or you are letting the enemy, steal your design and redesign you in his image, in a beige image. You don't need redesigning. Some of us need renovating, yes. Absolutely. But you don't need redesigning. The blueprint, your original design, is perfect. It cannot be improved upon. We need to fearlessly and boldly chase after all that God designed us to be, because God is raising up a generation and raising up a standard that doesn't settle for 32,000 mediocre soldiers, but continues to trust God and believe God that 300 excellent warriors is better than 32,000 beige soldiers. 300 fathers who know who they are, living passionately in pursuit of God's design, fearlessly and faithfully modeling godly masculinity for their children, will outperform and out-influence 32,000 mediocre men every day of the week. every day of the week. 300 women who know who they are, living passionately in pursuit of God's design, fearlessly and faithfully displaying godly femininity, will outperform and out-influence 32,000 mediocre women every day of the week. One person living in pursuit of all God called them to be will outperform hundreds of beige soldiers every day of the week. Would you all stand up with me as we begin to close? We need to live up, aim high. Come on, live up, aim high. Work hard, believe for more. As you do that, you'll stand out. You'll cause people to take note. Show people how those who have faith, those who live according to God's will, those who lean into God's design will experience favor, healing, joy, blessing, and growth that doesn't always make sense. It doesn't make sense that Gideon, who raised a standard, that Gideon who leaned into God's design, it doesn't make sense that he won that battle. It makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't make sense that the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a God-man died on a cross, was buried and rose again. It doesn't make sense. But as you lean into God's design in your life, you will rise again. The world wants to attack who you are and force you to aim lower. But God reminds you who you were designed to be and encourages you to aim higher. If you've been aiming low, today God's encouraging you to aim higher. And some of you might... Listen, I don't just want to preach a word that gets a bunch of amens. I want to preach a word that encourages you to actually aim up. Quit shrinking back, lean in, be who you're called to be, boldly. Boldly. And there are, and I brought up particular things because there are particular people that are encouraged to be particularly less. Don't be less white. Don't be less black. Don't be less masculine. Don't be less feminine. Don't be less blessed. Come on. Be who you are. Be authentic. Lean in. Amen. Can someone touch a neighbor, say lean in? Come on, we got to lean in. Amen. Lean in. Lean in. You know what? I think we need to pray for people today. I'm just going to pray for people who don't know Jesus, but then I'm going to open the front for prayer. Last night, we just had people raise their hands and pray for them, but I think we need to open the front for prayer. And Pastor Amanda, can you come out here? Great video, by the way. And, oh, snap. Anyway, Pastor Amanda, could we actually sing a song? Well, of course we can, but I'm going to let you pick it. All right? And I'm going to wrap this up in about 1 minute, so it's going to be brilliant that we're going to be done in time, but... I think God wants to minister to some people in this room today down the front. I think some of y'all need to spend some time at the altar, leaning in to who God called you to be, leaning into God's design and God's purpose and God's plans for your life, because you've been hiding it, shrinking back. You know, a part of shrinking back is even this, not telling people that you believe in Jesus, because the world tells you that's whacked. Well, it's pretty whacked to believe an ape turned into you, I'm just saying. Like some jacked up offspring of some other jacked up offspring turned into you. I'd rather believe in design. But some of you have shrunk back. It's time to lean in. Amen. And you need help from heaven to lean in to all that God designed you to be. So I'm going to open up the front in a second, but there are people in this room that don't know Jesus. And I want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, pray with me right now and give your life to Christ, okay? Step one of leaning in, well, invite God who created you into your life. He wants to forgive your sin, pay for your mistakes, set you up to live the life that he designed for you, a blessed life, a good life, amen, a life of influence and purpose. And I tell you, God only has good plans for your life, only good plans for your life. Come on, he only has good plans for your life. He's a good God. He didn't make you so he could watch you suffer. He made you so he could see you thrive. It excites him to see you thrive like it excites me to see my children thrive. You know? I'm never like, man, I'd love to see my kids get cancer. Like, that's not what a loving father says. He wants to see you thrive. He wants to see you blessed. So if you could pray this prayer with me and give him your life, that'd be fantastic. I'd love to do that with you right now. Repeat it after me. If you don't know Christ or if you've walked away from him, repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive this new life, and I receive your forgiveness. And I ask for your help to help me become all I was designed to be. I give you my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him some praise.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.